Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hey, I got a teaching topic for you today that is really near and dear to my life these days and in the past year since we've been serving Christ. My title today is Dealing With and Rejoicing in Persecution from Family and Friends. Yep, this topic comes up often with people that contact us. And we ourselves have endured it so many times over the years, serving Christ with various people that we've had in and out of our lives. You know, first we need to realize the Bible promises persecution. I have articles on that at Don't Perish at the Teaching Blog. Jesus says we'll be hated for his name's sake. So we know that's going to come. While it's never easy to be persecuted, when it comes to total strangers doing the persecution, it just seems right, common, and acceptable that it would have less effect on the human heart, our flesh, our feelings, than when it comes from those who are blood relations, we were once closely united to, friends, what have you. Remember Peter in Acts 5:41? They were beaten, and they left the council rejoicing because they were counted worthy to be persecuted. But they weren't beaten by their parents or their close friends. It was by some hypocritical religious leaders, so a little bit different context, but we are to rejoice in all persecution. We'll get to that. Now, parents, children, other blood relatives, friends that we used to know before we became born again and maybe still had some contact with them, they're often the ones that are going to seek to lie, attack, demean, ultimately persecute the true saints of God. We've got to come to grip with that, deal with it, and face it head on, not hide from it. In Matthew 10, Jesus says this, 21 through 22, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father, the child, and the children rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endure to the end shall be saved. So there's our first hint right there. We got to endure through that. I think you know that via the gospel. You got to place your faith in Christ and his finished work. You have to repent of all your sin and worldliness, be born again by his spirit, walk in holiness and obedience, and you must endure. So we know that's part of the gospel. But we know also, if you've walked long enough, if you haven't, you're going to find out as you live for Christ, coming out of the world, coming out of man-made religion, coming out from the pagan holidays, family, false rituals, all those things. We know that blood, family, and friends, they're going to hate the gospel most often, and ultimately most often, in most all cases, they're going to turn on us. This is painful, sorrowful, distressful, can be a very dark time for people, yet we're commanded to rejoice. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 11 and 12, blessed are ye when men revile you, persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Wow, we get to be persecuted like the holy prophets of God. There's something else that we can rejoice in. Amen. So the question comes down to, for this teaching audio, how do we face this persecution from family and friends? How do we rejoice in it from such people? Well, I think it has a lot to do with our foundation in Christ and the truth and the Word of God and the doctrines of God. I have some thoughts for you that I want to help. I want to give to you that'll help you, and maybe you can see your way through your pain and suffering with that, or be ready for it to come in the future. Again, we've gone through this. I've seen that these things have helped buffet us. It does not guarantee a smooth passing, but it certainly can help from the eternal Word of God, of course. So let's get started here. I got a whole bunch of them. Love God most of all. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. He told them, they said, what's the greatest command? He said, that is the great command. Here's a fact, folks. If you're really striving to be doing that, loving God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all thy mind, no people of the world are going to hurt you for very long. Yes, it'll be painful at first. It will take time to recover. There will be emotions, but it won't take long, because if you're loving God and you're caring about God and his kingdom and his word and his truth, not the people of the world, family and friends, won't take long. You'll be up and on your way. So love God most of all. Next one, realize you are not your own. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we're not our own. So God is going to use us for his glory for all these purposes. He may be working in us through the persecution to eventually reach a person, or it may be their condemnation on judgment day. But we're to be ready to be used of God. We are not our own. We're servants of the Most High. And we'd have to be willing to face that. Just like Job, God allowed him to suffer for God's glory. God may allow us to suffer through pain of family and friends, but it's all part of our reasonable service to him. We need to rejoice that we can be partakers of that for him, even when it hurts our flesh. And so we need to prepare and be ready so that even though it hurts, it doesn't cripple us, it doesn't push us back, we're able to keep going. Up next, know you are his tool, and God sharpens us via trial. So 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold and that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So this persecution from family and friends, it only makes a true saint that's born of God by the gospel, seeking him in all their ways to push forward, to be better, to be sharper, to get stronger, to be seeking the kingdom most of all. Rejoice in that. This trial is going to work for the betterment of God's kingdom and your walk in it. What a thing to rejoice over. How about next? Know their harsh actions make you holy. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Holy means to be set apart for God. By family and close friends persecuting you and causing distance, separation, lost relationships, we have to rejoice, saints. We are being made holy vessels unto God. Unless what? We go back and desire to be with the lost, false people of the world, even friends and family. No, we're to be called out, be set apart, be holy. This process is making you holy. Don't fight it. Go with it and let God conform you to his image. Amen. How about this? Preach the gospel to all your family and friends long before the persecution comes. Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him who they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? If you faithfully share the gospel with them, all these people that you know, your hands are clean. You've told them the truth. You've showed them what's transformed your life. You showed them the way to get on the narrow road. When they get angry for whatever reason next, you know, we just had some relatives get mad because we won't attend the funeral of someone, a pagan funeral of a worldly false Christian that didn't want nothing to do with us for years. And they were upset we weren't going to their funeral. Well, they cut ties with us. Well, you know what? Our hands are clean and our conscience are clean. We shared the gospel with them. We loved them. We helped them at times. Yeah, but once we shared the gospel and they wanted to persecute us and cut ties with us, no regrets. Yeah, we spoke the truth in love. And so in this, we have great peace and joy, and we can move forward through such persecution. How about this one? Know the word does its job, and it's never done in vain. Right? Get that? Know the word does its job, and it's never in vain. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word that go forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper the thing whereto I sent it. So saints, live the gospel, preach the gospel, be a witness and an example unto the gospel, then trust that it does its work via the Spirit. You can't do it. I can't do it. Give it to God and let it go. That's what we do, knowing his word accomplishes it. Rejoice that you were able to plant seeds into those people for the time that you had closeness with them after you became a saint. Then, when the persecution and the separation comes, move on from them. Trust that God will bring someone else in their life or conviction from the Holy Spirit. How about this one? Walk in truth, not feelings. Matthew 7:14. What did our Savior tell us? Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know, we know it's few, all right? He told us that. Here's a fact, and I have to tell you this. I love you, but I have to tell you so you can get ready. Most of your family, friends, are not going to make it into the kingdom of God. They're going to perish in their sin by their own choice as enemies of God. Face it, bear it, deal with it, cry out to God about it, but know that that's a fact. He told us that. And if we can know this, we can embrace His righteous judgment in all of it, give it all to Him, knowing no one's going to hell innocent. People are choosing their course. They're rebelling against Him willfully. And then give it to God and go do your job, loving Him, obeying Him first and most of all. How about this one? Have an eternal heart for all God. Hold on. My note just skipped here. Have eternal heart for all of God. God's eternal things, and be ready to take the very hard thing. So my notes skip there. Have a heart for all of God's eternal things is what I was trying to relay, and take it very, very serious, even the hard things. Let me give you an example. Exodus 32:27. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from the gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. Here's a fact, saints. Godly men of old actually had to kill family members that rebelled against God. You and I today, all we need to do is let them go out of our life when they choose to leave, or when we have to walk out of their life for various reasons. Rejoice that the grace of God is still at work and they're still living and breathing, and you didn't have to take their life like they did in the Old Testament. We need to be thankful for this. Rejoice in it, that there's still hope for them. And speaking of that, how about rest in hope for everyone still breathing? We didn't have to kill them. They're still breathing. The grace of God is active. Psalm 33:18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. You never know, saints. I told you very few, most of them aren't going to make it, but you never know who will repent and make it. The worst of the worst often come. Me and Sister Debbie, the worst of the worst, the most wicked people you could have imagined. We repented and came to Christ. You never know who of your friends and family may come. Don't lose hope. Hope for them all. Pray for them all. But focus on His kingdom most of all, even if they won't be there. Set your hearts on the kingdom, even if no one you know on earth is going to be there. That's proving that you're loving God and born of His Spirit. How about this one? Walk in the Spirit, one of my favorite topics. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, allowing people of the world to hurt us and affect you for many, many, many days, and deep darkness and deep trauma and trials, what this really means is we were leaning way too much on people and the flesh, not the Spirit of God, to make us stronger and pull us right through it quicker. It should have pulled us through quicker than we allowed it to if we stay in our flesh. Learn from those past mistakes. Don't be leaning on people. Lean on the Word, the Spirit, the Savior, and the Heavenly Father. How about focus daily on the mind of Christ? We can do this through persecution. This really helps us. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's a glorious thing. We get the mind of Christ. This means, like Christ, we live all for and seek the Father's will in all things, including persecution from family and friends. And we don't focus on or allow the world and the people closest to us or people that we're blood related to move us from that eternal focus. His kingdom, His word, His ways, His glory, not people of the world. This is a mindset that you have to overcome to be able to face persecution from such people. How about this one? Forgive them. Acts 7:60. Talking about Stephen when he was martyred. He kneeled down, cried out with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, He fell asleep. He died. Stephen and Jesus and many others let go of the anger, the pain, the I'm going to get them for this. No, they walked in freedom and forgiveness. Now, this doesn't mean that we forgive our family members and our friends when they do wicked, evil things, that they're blameless before God. Oh, no, they're going to stand in judgment of God. What it means is we're no better than them. We're just different. I tell people that all the time. And what it means is you're not harboring the bitterness that's going to destroy you, your faith life, your brother and sister relationships, maybe your marriage, whatever you have in your life. And you're going to turn them over to God and forgive them. Jesus said, forgive lest you be forgiven. And he was talking about brothers, but I think it applies everywhere. Make sure that we're ready to forgive people so that we can be forgiven and hope for the best. So be ready to forgive people. How about this? Through this trials and persecution of family and friends, double down on seeking his kingdom and righteousness, most of all, not holding to family and friends. Matthew 6:33, one of my favorite verses. Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, if you're really seeking the kingdom, just like loving God most of all, first and most in your life, your fleshly emotions are not going to overtake you for a long, long period of time. Yes, they'll come. We're not stones. We're not heartless. I understand that. But we won't be resting our hope and our joy and our peace on these wicked family and friends, people that deny God, that don't want the gospel, that will persecute God's people. We won't let that get to us for long. We'll pick ourselves up by the Spirit and Word, shake ourselves off, and get going for the kingdom. So double down on seeking his kingdom through this persecution. If you can do it through the persecution, you can do it anytime. What a glorious thing to think about. How about this one? Know that persecution will come if you are godly. I just did a audio and used this verse. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We should rejoice, saints, because what this means is God's working in us. We're living godly. We've come out and be separate from the world and religion and false traditions. And all this glorifies him. And that's our main job, saints, glorifying God. Not holding on to your family members and your friends. Not worrying about who's going to get to heaven. In fact, we're not supposed to worry about who's going to be in heaven or who goes to hell. Leave that to God. He's the creator, right? So we should rejoice that this persecution proves that we're godly as long as we're being persecuted for the right reasons. What a glorious thing that we can rejoice in and set our sights on. How about this one? Set your mind on things above. I learned this as a new believer and I never let go of it. Colossians 3:2-4. Set your affection on things above, not things on earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. Putting on the mind of Christ, we're looking forward to heavenly things, right? Looking forward to heavenly things, not earthly things, earthly relationships, family, blood family, all that type of thing. Friends that we've known for all those years before we were believers. Those unredeemed people, family, friends, whoever they are, they're not your future unless they repent and you don't know if they're going to, and few of them will. Christ is your future. Set your main affection there, not with people. See what it says? Verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, is Christ your life? If Christ is your life, then you don't let a few people pull you back into an unhappy or pain-filled life for very long. You get going for your king and the kingdom. How about this one? Know that God works all good for his saints. You know this verse, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Rejoice in this, no matter who hurts you, friends, family, whatever, children, parents, God has it under control. God knows about it. God allowed it. And it will always be to your spiritual best outcome, even if it seems like a hurtful, painful, fleshly loss right now. Trust in the Father. He's a good father. He sees every sparrow fall. He knows what you're going through. He knows best. If you love him with all that you are, he's going to work it all to your good. We should rejoice in that this persecution, you know, kind of like a crucible that burns off all the dross out of gold and silver, this Persecution is our crucible to make us better for the King who came and shed his blood for us. Wow. That is an exciting thought to consider. How about this one? Know who your real family is. Do you know that ahead of time? Who's your real family? Matthew 12, 48 through 50. Jesus answered and said to him, but he answered them and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my brethren and are my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Do you notice that? Jesus, when they said your family's at the door, looked right past his blood family. Mm-hmm. And focused on his spiritual family most of all. Why? That's the future. That's what glorifies God. That's who he came to shed his blood and die for. Those who repent, everyone has the chance. In doing this and making ourselves prepared for this and pondering it ahead of time, we are less able to be harmed in our walk by these people, family, close friends that we used to know in their persecution. It's going to be a lot less harmful if we realize our real family is not persecuting us. These people of the world are. Yeah, ponder that. How about this? Realize they are all God's. They're not yours. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Did you catch that? The world and everybody that dwells in is God's. They're not yours. No son is yours. No daughter's yours. No grandchild is yours. No mom and dad is yours. You do your best, like I said, to be a witness to the gospel in your life, in your words, in truth. And then when tension and persecution comes and you can no longer have any association with them and you have to have separation, know that God's big enough for this. You aren't. I'm not. God is big enough. It's not up to you to save all your family and friends. God may have another work for you somewhere else. And there's other people that have brothers, sisters, children, grandchildren that need the gospel that you need to affect with your life. Sitting and holding hands with your family that doesn't want the gospel, that's not going to work. You need to turn them over to God. Trust in the Father. Get going for your work in the kingdom. Don't linger in the past. It's sinful. And speaking of that, how about the next one? Don't be partial. If you mourn over your family members, go look up 1 Timothy 5. It talks about God does not like partiality. If you mourn over a family member or a friend perishing, I have a question. Do you mourn over the drunk in the gutter that may die, or the person you pass at the food store that's going to die, or the hospital full of people that are going to die? Here's a key. Ask God to open your spiritual eyes so that you'll love far beyond close family and friends, blood relations, and you'll love your true neighbors. You'll love brothers and sisters. You'll love seekers, maybe, and you'll see who the real family of God is, and you won't be partial, worried about your grandchildren. You know, there's other grandchildren that are going to die and go to hell. Maybe you can go out in the world and influence them, and then maybe somebody will someday influence yours. But if they don't want to hear the gospel now, you don't sit, you don't lament, you get going. Don't be partial. God hates partiality. How about this one? Very important. Ask forgiveness from everybody long before the persecution comes. Daniel 9:9. To the Lord our God belongs mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. We serve a good God. He's full of forgiveness. Make sure you tell everyone that you've ever hurt in your unregenerated life or whatever you've done. You failed them. Tell them you're sorry. Tell them you repent of it. Tell them you've been made new in Christ. Share the gospel with them. What this does is this takes guilt and the heavy burden off of you that you've been carrying. Oh, I raised my children this way, or oh, I did this to my parents. And it places it with them, saying, I ask for forgiveness. Give it to them. And let them deal with it. Hopefully, they'll run to God. They'll run in repentance. They'll run to the scriptures. Maybe they'll call you one day and say, thank you for saying you were sorry. I'm sorry for hurting you too, and I want to serve Christ. Ask for forgiveness before the persecution comes. Once again, when you have to move on then, you have no regrets. Regrets are one of the worst things you can have. They hold you bondage. You want to be free and free in Christ. Next one, do not be too close to family and friends of the world. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Here's a key. When you come to Christ and you're born again, it's not saying you can't have relationship with friends you used to know or some unregenerated family you know. What it's saying, what I'm saying here is don't be too close to them. You don't be hanging out with them all the time unless it's they want to hear about the gospel and their Bible studying. Don't be partaking with them in their life and their sporting events, their football, their music, their entertainment, their worldly dress, all this stuff. Have a limit on where you put yourself, how long you spend with them. You're only there to be an influence in their life. You realize that. You are not there to be entertained. You are not there to soothe your flesh. You're not even there to watch your grandchildren grow up. You are a tool and a vessel of Christ. And so you're not to be too close to those people of the world, because most of them are going to hurt you and persecute you. We've seen that. 99.99%, in fact, are going to hurt you and persecute you. Don't be too close. Draw close to God, and he draws close to you, like James says, and draw close to other true saints, your true spiritual family. Don't be too close to the rebellious people of the world, family and friends, that aren't running to seek after Christ. That will protect you. It will put up walls and buffers. You can have communication and some association. Don't be too close is my admonition. On the same line, how about this one? Don't allow little babies and grandchildren to snare you into the family's lost ways, bringing you more pain. Exodus 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Why did I quote that verse? Many people we see, claim believers, make grandchildren an idol. You say, what's an idol? You don't bow down and pray to it. You put it above God. And until you're ready to walk away from daughters, sons, grandchildren, aunts, uncles, parents, for the cause of Christ over sin and their rebellion, they are an idol to you. Until you're ready to give them up, they're an idol to you. Kind of like the rich man. Money's not evil. The rich man loved his money more than God. And Jesus said, go give it up, and he couldn't do it. That was his idol. Are your grandchildren, your family, your friends, are they your idol? Something to consider. You need to repent of that. We had to face that in our early Christian walk. You have to give them to God long before you have to walk away from them in from persecution. They're going to grow up, your grandchildren. One day, maybe, you get to witness the gospel to them if you get separated from them. But you can't stay united to the people of the world. And sin and darkness and corruption just to be close to family, friends, grandkids, things like that. That's sinful. Don't do it. You're setting yourself up for great failure. Be a light, be salt, but be separate and guard your heart. How about this one? See who the true dead is. Matthew 8:22. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, let the dead bury the dead. The guy wanted to go back and bury his dad. Jesus said, follow me, let the dead bury the dead. People who reject the gospel and following Christ and live in sinful, false ways, false man-made traditions they won't repent of, in many cases, most all cases, they're dead already, just walking. They're the walking dead. The people made alive in Christ, they obey God's word and holiness. It's very clear in Scripture. So it helps us to see this and to know it deep down inside. These people are dead already. If they reject Christ, think of this. They're trampling the blood of the Savior who came to save them and call them to repentance. If you grasp onto that fact, it will harden you up. Yeah, we don't want you to be hard as a rock, but we don't want you to be mushy like a marshmallow. We don't want to be that either. We want to be somewhere in between, ready to be loving and emotional, kind and caring, but ready to be a worker and a soldier for the Lord. And speaking of that, the next point, realize you're to be a soldier, not an undisciplined fleshly being. 2 Timothy 2:4. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of his life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Your battle is for the kingdom of God, not for staying close to family, grandchildren, aunts, uncles, best friends you used to know before you were born again. That is your goal, a soldier of the kingdom, not to be happy here on earth with fleshly relationships that are not of God. Ponder that, will you? It's very, very important. How about this one? Set your life's effort forward, not backwards, to the past failures regarding lost family and friends. Luke 9:62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's like a life verse for Sister Debbie and I. Until family and your family and friends repent and come to Christ, and they're serving him and walking with you, they're actually part of your past. Forgive yourself from what you did with your children. We raised our children worldly. We were not born again when they were small. They were gone before we were born again. We had to forgive ourselves of all that. We had to tell them we're sorry. We showed them the light and the truth and the gospel. They don't want it. Some of them, one of them respects it. The rest of them have rejected us outright. We understand the pain of that. But what you can't be doing is setting your life looking backwards, full of regrets and pain. No, no, no. Repent, ask God for forgiveness. Repent, ask them for forgiveness. Move fat forward, looking forward to the kingdom of God, or you'll be crippled by the flesh and Satan and the people behind you. How about this one? Learn to love and hate what God does. Psalm 119:104. Through my precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Instead of focusing on our fleshly pain as we go through these things, and we're going to have that pain, don't focus on it. Learn to tap into some righteous anger. You know, Jesus flipped over tables over righteous anger. Paul told men to cut their manhood off. Okay, many, many people got stern rebukes, all right? Go read how John the Baptist dealt with the Pharisees and Jesus. Get some righteous anger about people sinning against this holy God and the Savior that came and shed his blood. Don't side with the evil, wicked, rebellious, sinful, worldly, carnal, deceptive, antichrist people, whether they're your friends, family, grandchildren, whatever. No, side with the holy of holy holies. The Father in heaven. Don't side with the people of the world. Learn to love what God loves and hate what God hates. That will condition your heart for the kingdom of God. How about know that no one goes to hell unless they choose it and they deserve it. Psalm 89:14. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. God is just. He's merciful. No one's going to end up in hell that doesn't deserve it and choose it. If God's glory, remember we love God most of all, and his glory, we're his tool, is your true goal, if they go to heaven, you rejoice, of course. If they choose hell, God is still glorified. We may not rejoice in that, but in both outcomes, God is glorified, and we are to strive for God to be glorified. When the man commits mass murder and the judge convicts him to either death sentence or life in jail, it's sad the man loses his life and freedom. But justice is served and we must rejoice in that. Don't be leaning towards the people of the world that are choosing wickedness and sin. Lean towards the justice and the righteousness of God. How about this one? Cry out to God in the spirit and in your tears if need be. It's okay, saints. Psalm 5:2. Hearken unto my voice of the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee I will pray. It's okay, get it all out. We're not rocks. We understand there's emotion, but here's the key. Quickly empty your vessel of the pain as it comes, then get filled up with him, his word, his truth, his spirit, other saints helping, encouraging you, bearing each other's burdens. Then get marching on as a soldier. You're a soldier. You're not to be an emotional basket case. You're a soldier. Kill your flesh. The Bible teaches us that. The fact is only fleshly people sit in pain, remorse, suffering for anyone. Family, friends, grandchildren. Saints, true saints, born of his spirit, give it to God. Ask for strength and grace to keep going. Then they get busy for his kingdom. Work while it's day, Jesus said. The night is coming. Yeah, that's what we got to focus on. So those are just a few that I've come up with. There could be probably a couple hundred more if I sat and really pondered it. All of these are stepping stones for you and I to walk free and victorious in Christ, preparing ourselves from any persecutions and trials that are to come from family and friends that are in our life or were in our life from most times from when we were unregenerated. The truth is, all of us have to face this, or we're not even saints of the Most High. Consider that. Let me say it again. We all have to face this, or we're not really saints of the Most High. Because saints, people, not saints, people that are not serving God in holiness and obedience, they don't get persecution. They're not saints of the Most High, are they? So you need to rejoice as Jesus and the prophets and the disciples, they all faced it unto death and terrible torture. We need to rejoice because we get to serve with them in that suffering. That is really something to rejoice about. I got to ponder that myself and really rejoice in that, to be able to suffer even a bit of persecution for the cause of Christ, like the prophets, the disciples, and our Holy Savior. So that's what I got for you. I hope that helps you bear the persecution of family and friends, face it, and deal with it in a better, more godly, full of wisdom way. And that's really my goal. Let us know if we can help you bearing the pain from the family and friends that are going to come against you. We bore much of it over the years, and we even had distant relationships, not too close to them. It still comes back, rears up your ugly head. Be careful. Some people, looks like you can trust them, but if they're not born again, don't trust them too much. We learned that. They turn out to be evil and wicked most times, and then they end up stabbing you in the back, lying, doing all types of things. Don't let that overcome you. Don't put yourself in that category. Study, read, pray, strengthen yourself. Live your life for Christ and the true saints with you. Don't live your life for the people of the world. That's our testimony unto God. And I can tell you, He is able to help you overcome, make you stronger on the other side. We've gone through much trials the last 3 years. We are so much stronger today than we were in the beginning. After much tribulation, after tears and pain and persecution and betrayal, we're stronger than ever today. That's our testimony in Christ. And you can get there too. You'll be much stronger through it. So let us know how we can help you. Hold fast, saints. We love you all. Looking for the redemption that draweth nigh. Our Savior, Christ Jesus, is coming for us. Hey, thanks for listening. Shoot us an email. Give us a phone call. Love to encourage you. Walk you through the trials of this faith life. Set your feet on that narrow path for God's glory. Hey, if He lets me come to you again next time, till then, may God be praised.